I had a question last night when I went to bed, and it's not in the Who's Boss book, but it's a question that Jesus asked. So we'll go outside the box a little bit.
It's in this book, though.
It's in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'm thinking especially about the context in which it was used, which was the healing of a sick man. It's a wonderful story about this poor man who, it seems, may have given up on the thought of ever being well. This must have been such an interesting place, such a sad place. It says here, there was a place called Bethesda, the house of mercy, that means. The house of mercy. Well, it has a great name, but there were sick people all over the place at the pool of Bethesda. Here I'm reading a story from the 5th chapter of John, and the NIV. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And now if you're using a King James Bible, you say, what just happened? What happened? Yes, there's a verse missing, the 4th verse. And maybe we should stop for a moment and think of why that verse might be. Well, first let me read what it says. The 4th verse says this, if you have an NIV, it says down at the bottom in very small print. I would have to pop one of my contact lenses out in order to be able to read this. Here they were lying, all these sick people, and it says they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. In my English Standard Version, the 4th verse is also skipped. And in the notes, instead of just supplying the verse, this is in the Study Bible, it says that this verse should not be regarded as scripture. That's a little strong. What really happened here was that this verse is not in all of the manuscripts that were used to translate the scripture into our readable form, our language. And after the King James Version was published, there were more manuscripts discovered, some of them earlier in time than the ones used to translate the King James Version. And some people gave those earlier manuscripts more credence, just because they were earlier. And this verse was missing from some of them. As you find as you read through, if you're a Bible student, you read in various translations, you find those variations. I remember in my Sunday school class, one day we were reading in Acts, I think it's chapter 8, where that Ethiopian official was riding in his chariot across the desert, having been at Jerusalem to worship God And you remember how Philip was led to him supernaturally, and just at the time when he was reading about Jesus from his Old Testament scriptures, Isaiah, and Philip said, "Do you know what you're reading? How can I know?" See, he was so devoted to the Lord. He was one of those God-fearers that you read about, and that he's reading the scripture without knowing what he's really reading. We have so much more understanding, and sometimes we don't devour the scriptures as we should. We're not like Jeremiah, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts." But he was reading away, and from Isaiah 53, what we call Isaiah 53, he had his scroll there, and Philip comes, "Do you know what you're reading? How can I?" And he explains. It says he preached Christ to him. Well, in that story, the man wants to get baptized. "Here's water. Let's go. I want to get baptized." And Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." "I believe," he says. Well, that little section isn't in there. I remember when one man came to me. I tried to explain him that it was a manuscript problem. "Why would they leave this out? This is the best part. How could they do that?" I said, "It's because it wasn't in the manuscript that they were using." No, they were right to leave it out because this is accurate. But in other manuscripts, it is included. So these scholars had to make some choices, didn't they? And you have books written about why the newer manuscripts, like those that the King James are based on, are better than the older. And then, of course, some people think the older are better and more reliable. And the logic of all of this, this is quite a study for scholars. And so, in case you are interested in why the fourth verse is not there, this is the reason. The manuscripts that were used for the NIV were different from the manuscripts for the King James Version. I should say that there is very, very little in such a big book. There's very, very little difference. But there are some of these places. Now, if you look down to verse 7, I didn't get there yet, but in verse 7, the man answers Jesus after he asks the question, which we must get back to. But he says in verse 7, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Which proves that the fourth verse at least describes what the people believed was happening at the pool. So it isn't that that far out of the realm of possibility. I was sad when I read the fourth verse shouldn't be deemed to be scripture, because I'm not happy with that. I'm not as smart as the people that put the study Bible together, I know, but there it is, and the people did believe this, and apparently it did happen that when the water was stirred and someone went into it, there were cures that were effected at this pool. Anyway, the question that Jesus asked that I felt directed to last evening and this morning when I woke up, it was still there, so it was in me all night, I guess, was a wonderful question that Jesus asked this man. He came to one of them. There were a great number of disabled people, but one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Wow, some of you can't even imagine how long 38 years is, right? Because you have no frame of reference for such a long amount of time. But others I think can. 38 years is a long time to be an invalid. And Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. It doesn't say it here, but we know that Jesus had compassion on this man. That's why he went to him. That's why when he heard that he had been in this condition for such a long time, he asked him this wonderful question, "Do you want to get well?" Or in the terms that many of us are used to, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Wilt thou be made whole? King James language. Do you want to get well? It seems like an unnecessary question, if not a silly question. Do you want to get well? And as I said before, the thought that comes to me, maybe there's something else that you could add to this, but it is that he must have been so discouraged with his condition. 38 years, hard to move, invalided, probably paralyzed in some way, unable to get there first. I would think I would have tried to roll over to the very edge of the pool. In 38 years, I may have gotten there. And then just rolled in as quickly as I could. But I wasn't there, so I don't know how it may have worked. But he must have been very discouraged with those people that maybe they had lesser infirmities and they were able to get there more quickly. So Jesus asks this question, do you want to get well? Of course he wanted to be well. And then he explained why he couldn't be well. See, discouragement had taken over in his mind, in his heart. He just knew that he couldn't because he wasn't in the condition to get there first, and he had to get there first. And so he was just going to stay as he was. "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Or maybe it was one of those pools like at the motel where there's just like these very small steps to get in, so you can't really get in. It might have taken longer. I'm sorry. It's just my imagination. But newer manuscripts, right? Which are more reliable. Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now there's a power in the word of God, isn't it? There's the word of the Lord, the healing word of the Lord. It's a command. He had to do what he was told to do. I remember sitting here in the meeting. I was over about where you are, Brother Paul, Brother Phil, and Tom, somewhere in that section. I'm only seeing it, so I have to think of my perspective, because the other person was right behind where... Oh, by the way, if you called Vince Victor, you'd be making the same mistake I made last night. His name is Vince. Okay. Sitting right near where Vince is, or behind him, was the gentleman. And Brother Gardner was standing here, and he was asking for verses about the Word of God. And so many people throughout the room, this was, by the way, my first year on staff, 1967, and I was sitting over there, and the man was here who quoted this word. "He sent his word and healed them," from Psalm 107. He sent his word and healed them. And there was a great need in his family at that time, the man that spoke. Maybe that's why I remember it so vividly. He sent his word and healed them. There's mighty power in the word of God. And when he speaks, as he spoke here and so many times in the Gospels, not long before I came to camp. Well, on Sundays I was in the book of Mark, taking little vignettes, incidents from the Gospel of Mark. We didn't get out of the first chapter or two. But I had started with Ephphatha, be opened. That's an amazing story of healing. It comes a little bit later, but in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus had compassion. He touched the man. This is the first thing that man heard for many years. Be opened. And his ears were open. Remember, he had a speech impediment. He couldn't hear. Jesus had compassion on him. And again, he spoke and it was done. And here it's the same thing. Do you want to get well? Wilt thou be made whole? Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now this happened on the Sabbath day, and you know that story, and perhaps it's good to just go on a little bit. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Now, as I understand it, you can't find anything in the Old Testament that forbids this man to carry his mat. But laws and regulations had been added by the scribes, by the people that were involved with the law. And so the observance of the Sabbath had become increasingly burdensome. And I don't believe there's anything that says he couldn't do this. This is the mat that he was lying on. So it's strange, but they said, "You can't do that." And he said, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." I've read this many times, as I suppose all of you have. And this time, something clicked. I heard my Uncle Gordon, and you have heard him say this if you've been under his ministry. He says this sentence, that the Lord is always working without intermission. Have you ever heard him say that? He works without intermission. And that meant to me, as I read this morning, I read this little passage over. Actually, I knew the story, but I wanted to read it so I'd know where to stop. And I just decided to stop at verse 17. Anyway, that means that my Father has been working and I too am working isn't just Matthew or John 5:17. But it holds true today and this morning. It doesn't say that he stopped. It says, "My Father is always at his work, and I too am working. Do you want to be well? Wilt thou be made whole? Now this wonderful healing, along with all the others in the Gospels, pointed forward to Jesus' cross work. We know that. We can say that on the basis of Scripture. In Matthew 8, we read that Jesus did all these healings. It is written, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He carried away our sicknesses and our pains. Jesus won the victory at the cross over sin and death. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But by one man, this was turned around. It was rectified by one man, Jesus Christ. In his work on the cross, he took my sins and my sorrows. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, is taken from Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we can know that Jesus' victory was a great victory. He took sin and sickness. He came to destroy all the works of the devil. That we read in 1 John, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, it's true that not everyone who seeks for healing gets healed. That's true. But it is also true that it is always right to come to Jesus. In that day, when people came to him and asked for his help, he was so ready to help. We mentioned that before. Let us resort to him now, and his heart is ever the same. And he wants us to come in our need and ask him and seek for his help. He wants to manifest his resurrection life and power. We are members of Christ. He is our head. From our risen head flows life to all his members. And he wants us to come asking, believing. We can come and trust that his heart is toward us. And, you know, in one place it says, if it be your will, Lord, I know that you can heal me. And in that case, Jesus said, I will. That's the only case that we have. I sometimes smile because people use, I think, faulty logic to say that means it is always God's will to heal. And if he doesn't, there's something wrong with you. They use, because he said that to the one man, I will. It could be that he meant, I will to heal you, you know. But I think it's telling, and you can tell me if you disagree with this, but I think it's telling that in the one case where we have, if it be your will, you can heal me, Jesus said, I will. That's telling. And I think that because of that, we do well to open our hearts to his working and come right to him, knowing that his heart is open to us in our need. And we do well. And how often we have come. I wonder if there's anybody here who hasn't come to Jesus when you were weak, when you had pain, when you were sick, when you just reached out to him and you said, "Oh Lord, I need your help now. This pain is becoming unbearable," or "this weakness, I need your strength, Lord." I mean physical weakness. "I need your strength," or "Oh Lord, help me, drive out this sickness. I'm your child. I'm united to you. I have believed into Christ. I live by your life. Quicken me by your life. Strengthen me by your grace. I have a book with promises in it. I can lay hold of these promises. You have healed so many, and you have promised to quicken, yes, this mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in me, the Spirit of life. Lord, I come to you. I claim your healing virtue. I want to receive your life now because I need it. I need you." And maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't do it exactly as you hoped he would right away. But I think everybody in this meeting, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I think everybody, and if not everybody, almost everybody in this meeting would have a testimony that would say, "Jesus touched me. Jesus is real. He is with me. He is within me. He is able. He wants me to experience his life and strength and health. Yes, he wants me to live by his life and enjoy divine health." And some people that were sick and accepted that trial from the Lord, as we sang last night, "Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do, and that's all we can do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true." And they didn't see their fondest wish for perfect healing in this life, but they trusted through, and that was a victory in itself. I'm trusting the Savior. He's the mighty healer, and he died that we might live. And this is maybe a little bit different from what you have understood, but Jesus is giving us a new body. There will be no more sickness and no more pain, and we shall live eternally with him. That's the great victory that he died for. Lazarus was raised from the dead. He died again. Everyone who's been healed died again. And this is not unbelief. Stop it. Some people think it's unbelief when you preach the full gospel. This is the gospel. This is the ultimate triumph of the cross. Life eternal. A changed. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be changed. Bodies that are no longer subject to pain or sickness or any end. No, we will not die. We will live, and we will live eternally. "Whosoever believeth, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die," Jesus said. "Believest thou this?" Yes, Lord, we believe. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Jesus is the healer, and he's able to touch you and able to do mighty miracles today in those who come to him in faith, trusting him. So let us believe him. There are those who have been looking for his touch, even in this group, in these days, and we have been praying with them and for them. And we want to do that yet this morning before we close this meeting. Again, oh Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know these bodies of ours. They're subject to infirmities, subject to weakness. We're not made. This body is not made to inherit the kingdom of God. But Lord, we thank you that as we go along, you are the mighty healer. Lord, you heal, you make whole in spirit, soul, and body. And we are wanting to proclaim this message and trust in our Savior, our mighty healer. Oh Lord, if there's anyone here who needs your healing touch today, we think of those days when we read, as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. And we do reach out this morning to touch you, Lord, to touch you. In our need, Lord, we would reach out to you and touch you. We have known it from your word, and we have known it by experience that you are the mighty healer, and that you are the same today, that your heart is open to us, and that you will not and you never fail. So, Lord, we thank you that we can trust you in every time of need. Praise the Lord and plead your cross work in our behalf, Lord. We thank you that you died, taking our sins and sorrows and making them your very own, and that you were raised again by the glory of the Father, and you give us life for body and soul and spirit. And so, Lord, we want to open our hearts wide to you, not just for ourselves and our own need, but for each other this morning. Oh, Lord, we pray one for another. Anyone who needs the Lord's touch, reach out just now. Reach out to him as we reach out together to touch the Lord. Touch the Lord for you in your need. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 we look to you. We're full of expectation. Our eyes are upon you. Our hope is in you. Our expectation is from you, Lord. Hallelujah. Not in ourselves, Lord, and not in our faith, but in you, Lord. We trust in you, and we look to you, and we expect from you today, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord, let your Spirit move in this place right now, this morning, as this meeting is drawing to a close. We pray that you will touch each one who is in need, Lord. Let your Spirit move just now. It is your Spirit that quickens. Your Spirit brings us life. Your Spirit works healing in the bodies of your people, Lord, and we pray one for another that we might be healed, O Lord. And we do expect this from your hand, O God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your mighty word, Lord. Speak that word of healing. Lay your mighty healing hand on the sick ones this morning, we pray, for your name's sake and for your glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, we know that you're here. Oh, you're here, as real as ever you were when you walked on this earth, Lord. You're here in the presence and power of your Spirit, and we trust you, and we trust your healing power and your healing grace. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We reach out, Lord. We reach out to you. Hallelujah. 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 Touch him and be made whole. Touch him and be made whole. The Son of God is passing by. Now, just now, he will hear. Touch him and be made whole. Hallelujah, 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 glory, glory, hallelujah, 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 glory, for the healings that you're giving. Thank you for the healings that you give just now, Lord. Thank you that you touch us. Thank you that you make us every whit whole, Lord. Oh, for your glory, we thank you, Lord. You take away these pains. You take away this weakness. Oh, Lord, you drive out the intruder. Oh, Lord, let sickness go. Let your health come to each one who is in need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is passing. This way today, Jesus is passing this way, he's passing this way today, Jesus is passing this way. This way today, Jesus is passing this way, he's passing this way today. Oh Lord, thank you. What does that mean? Oh, wonderful Lord, you lay your hand on each of us because you love us. Oh, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We just reach out to you this morning. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Praise you. Praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this is our prayer room, and anytime we leave this room, we want to leave quietly. If people are using this room to wait before the Lord or to call on his name, so that would mean the surrounding areas as well. Okay, let's try to keep our voices down in this, in the area of this lodge. As meeting is dismissed now, the room is still available for those who want to pray at any time throughout the day and evening. Hallelujah. Let us stand. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Thank you, Lord, that this morning you have crowned us with your loving kindness and tender mercies, And as that is in the present tense, we believe that you continue to do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for you are ever the same. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 One more announcement is that if there's anyone who wants special prayer at any time, make that known. There are people here, I know, that we would love to just come next to you and surround you with faith and love and just pray together. That's what it's about, isn't it? So praise the Lord. Feel free. God bless you. Amen.